So this morning we're talking about
the focused life. How focused are you? And I have a test, all right? A test for you, so you have to pay attention. We're going to throw a video up on here. So just listen to what it says and see if you can follow along. So let's watch.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make? The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
So how many of you got 13 right? All right, a few. How many of you saw the dancing bear? Oh, good job, there's a few. How many got both of it right? Oh, no one. All right, crazy, right? Sometimes we can miss what's right in front of us. We can miss the obvious. And this happens each and every day all throughout our life. For instance, so have you ever had your spouse, and maybe this is for the men out there, have you ever had your spouse get like a haircut, maybe 6 inches cut off, and you failed to notice? Or their hair colored, and you forgot to notice? Or it's coming up on football season, so maybe you're so involved in watching your TV program that all of a sudden you feel a slap on your shoulder. And you look puzzled, why did you just hit me? And you realize that your spouse or your kids have been calling your name for 3 or 4 minutes. You had no idea, right? It happens. Or have you ever maybe been searching for your glasses for 5 minutes, only to find them on top of your head? Or look for your keys and torn your house upside down, only to find them in your pocket, right? It happens. Sometimes we miss the obvious, and those are kind of silly stories, they happen, but sometimes they get more serious. For instance, this week, Wednesday night, Alicia comes up to me, that's my wife, and says, what are our plans for tomorrow? And I've been thinking a lot about this sermon, letting it marinate in my head, and I don't do sermons very often, you know, once a decade. And so I've been pretty focused on that this week, a little bit worried about that. So that's taken a lot of my attention. And so she asked this question, you know, what are we doing tomorrow? So immediately, you know, the husband thing to do is start racking your brain. Like, okay, what's tomorrow? Do the girls have a dance routine? No, I don't think so. You know, you're trying to find the right answer. And you try not to look like you're trying to find the right answer. And finally, you know, after she's getting more and more upset, I realize, Thursday is our 10th anniversary. And my next remark was like, should I go to Walmart and go look for a gift? So I got in a lot of trouble Wednesday night. So sometimes you miss the obvious. But still yet, sometimes we miss other people's needs and what's going on in their life. A story, I tell lots of stories, that's what I do. You'll hear a bunch of different stories. You'll learn a lot about me today. But I dated a girl all throughout high school for 4 years. And then once college started, we dated for a little bit. But then, you know, we went our separate ways. We ended on good terms. We were still really good friends. And 3 months later, she had been seeing a counselor. And she came and talked to me and said, hey, I've been diagnosed with bulimia. I have an eating disorder. And I was just jaw hit the floor. Like, how long has this been going on? The counselor had said, hey, you need to tell some of the people that love you, your loved ones, so that they can help you with this. And she had said, 4 or 5 years. And I was floored. I was like, are you kidding me? You know, how is this girl who is struggling with such image issues going through the things that she's going through? And I'm probably the closest person to her over the past 4 years. And I didn't see it. I did not see it. And looking back, I can say, oh, that makes sense. Now, that's why she would faint sometimes. She was very particular on what she ate. She had marks on her hands from where she would try to make herself throw up. It makes sense now. But I'm like, how did I miss it? How did I miss her need? All right? So can you relate? A lot of times we're so focused on ourselves, on our image, on our own life, on our own needs, what's going on, that we totally miss the people around us who are hurting, who are in need. And today we're going to talk about somebody who wasn't like that, Jesus, and see what we can learn from him. See, Jesus was focused, right? Laser focused. And all throughout Scripture, we see him showing up and noticing people's needs. And we saw a little bit of that in our gospel reading today. And so, if you want to, open with me. We're going to open back up to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And go through about 7 verses, looking at Jesus' actions, in case you missed it. But before this, just a little background. So Jesus has just sent his disciples out on short-term mission trips. All right? So he sends them out, 2 apiece, go to the towns around us. If they accept you, if they're open to hearing your word, meet their needs, heal the sick, heal the people of leprosy, drive demons out. So this is what the disciples had just done. So they are getting back from their little short-term mission trip. And see what Jesus recognizes. So Mark chapter 6, okay. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves, in a boat to a solitary place. See, Jesus recognizes that they're tired, that they're worn out, right? They've been going kind of beyond their means. They need rest. They need food. And he sees this need in them. He knows exactly what's going on with them, right? We continue with verse 33. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Again, we see the people. Jesus recognizes their need. You have these people who are spiritually hungry. They're looking for truth. And Jesus says, okay, let's meet this need. All right, and then he continues, verse 35. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." So a lot of times I looked at this verse and I thought, ah, those disciples, they just didn't want to do the work, right? But maybe, give them the benefit of the doubt, they saw the need that was in front of them, like Jesus had been teaching them to do. The disciples saw their need, and maybe they were trying to fix the problem. Like, send them away. This is going to become an issue, right? But Jesus says, no. You give them something to eat. Action, right? See, Jesus wasn't a me-first kind of guy. Jesus was always an after-you kind of guy, looking to see how he can meet the needs. We see this from Paul, too, in one of our second readings from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And we see what Paul says about all this. So Paul is giving us a good, like, you know, older teacher reprimand. And so you'll see that in these verses. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, But humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be that the same as Christ Jesus. And so he has some don'ts for us, right? He has don't think about yourself and don't be obsessed with others, with your own needs. But Paul also has the action step behind it. He has the do. So don't think about yourself. Do take an interest in others. Don't be obsessed with yourself, with your own needs, but do notice the needs of others. See, it just wasn't simply enough to live a life that wasn't selfish. We are to live a life that's selfless. And we see that with the life of Christ. And that's hard, right? It's very easy for us to make sure that we are the main characters of our story instead of making Jesus the main character of our story. And so what are we to do with this? How do we live a life where we don't miss the bear, where we're more focused on the needs of others, on loving others, on being disciples of Christ, right? And so the first is being in God's Word. If you're not in Scripture, and this is something I struggle with daily also, if you're not waking up and feeding yourself, how can you feed others? How can you live life not concentrate on yourself if you're not putting God's truth in you each morning? It's something we gotta do, right? And secondly, I'm gonna throw this, but joining Jesus on his mission. Greg Finke has come here several times, and he has done several Bible classes. He's preached several times. But he gives three things that you can do. And the first one is seek. So what does he mean by seek? It means look up from your phone. Notice what's happening around you, right? Seek. An example of this was, so I love basketball. It's a passion of mine. I'm going to be playing hopefully until I'm 80. Maybe not, but we'll see. I love the game of basketball. I always have, ever since I was a little kid. And so years ago, I've had basketball up here at church for probably the last 8 years. And I would come and I would play, and it was kind of a selfish desire. It's a passion that God's given to me, and I love doing it, but I was doing it for me, right? About 3 or 4 years ago, we started huddles, and I was in a huddle. And they kept on saying, anywhere that you go, God isn't asking you to do things different. He's just saying, wherever he sends you, that you join Jesus on his mission. And so what does joining Jesus on his mission in basketball look like? How does seeking in basketball look like? And all of a sudden, that changed my perspective of basketball. I would go there instead of just, you know, playing. Between the games, I was starting to get to know the guys. And I was, you know, I knew more than just their names. I was asking them what they did for a living, if they had any children. I was starting to get to know them. I would spend time after. I wasn't running home right away. But instead, I'd stay after 5 or 10 minutes and see if anybody lingered around and talk to them. We started praying at the end of basketball, right? And all of this, I changed how I was seeking in basketball. All of a sudden, it was more than just basketball, right? It was about what God was doing in their lives. And through that, when you seek, the second one is recognize. You start recognizing what's going on. And Greg Finke talks about, okay, a good way to recognize is if there's a need. If you come across and somebody has a need, that can be as simple as a coworker having a bad day at work, the person checking your groceries out, maybe your waitress coming, and you can tell she just had somebody run out on her and leave her with a ticket. She's feeling discouraged. Whatever that need that you notice, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit allowing you to notice that need, right? And also to respond to that need. That's the third thing. But before that, I'm going to talk about a story about recognizing. I told the basketball story about seeking, so I got to have one for recognizing. So about 12 years ago, I went on a winter retreat. It was one of my very first trips here at Trinity. And the last 2 days of the winter retreat, we went snow skiing. And so I'm probably 22 at the time. And how many of you have ever snow skied before? Well, we got a few, but not a lot. So to go up, to come down the mountain, you have to go up the mountain, right? And so you sit in one of these small chair lifts. And sometimes it's just a two-seater. So it can be like as wide as right here. And so you never know. Sometimes you sit next to somebody you know. Sometimes you don't. And so every single time you go up the lift, you're forced to make a decision. Do I talk or do I not talk? It takes like 20 minutes to get to the top, right? And so you have talkers and non-talkers. I'm a talker, right? And so I always have those couple questions I'm going to ask, like, what's your name? Where are you from? And so this man in his mid-40s, you know, gets on next to me, and we have 15 minutes up the mountain together. And so immediately I'm like, so who are you? What's your name? You know, I probably scare introverted people so much when I do that. But, you know, he tells me his name. I was like, what are you doing here? You know, why are you here? He's like, well, I'm on a family trip. And he was kind of hesitant. And then he just starts bawling, just starts crying. So it's like 3 minutes into the trip. So I got 12 minutes to figure out, okay, what do I do now? I have a man weeping next to me. It's just us, right? So awkward. And so, you know, what's going on? So I start asking him questions. And so he's on his family trip. But over this past year, he cheated on his wife. And because of that, that cost him his marriage. And it also cost him his relationship with his teenage son, who didn't want anything to do with him. And some of his best memories were skiing with his son. And so as I ask him, you know, why are you here? That's what caused this time bomb to go off. And that's why he's weeping. And he just says, you know, my favorite memories are here sitting next to my son. And I don't have that anymore, right? And so, you know, I'm 22-year-old youth director, should have something better to say, but I'm like, oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry, that really stinks. And they're like, say the Jesus answer, I'll pray for you. You know, I'll pray for you. And I did, I'm sure I prayed for him. But that lift ended, he skied to the right, I skied to the left, right? I look back on that scenario all the time. You know, seeking, you know, maybe I was doing a little of seeking. Recognizing, man, it is hard not to recognize a 40-year-old man crying next to you, right? The Holy Spirit was saying, here's somebody in need, right here. It was the responding that I look back all the time. I'm like, oh, why? There's so many other things I could have done, right? I could have prayed with him. I could have found a little coffee shop at the top of the mountain and been like, hey, you want to talk some more? I could have skied with him the rest of the day. Join me. Come join me and ski. I could have invited him to ski with me and some of the youth, or have him come to dinner with us later that night. I had so many opportunities to love on him and see what the Holy Spirit did from there. But I was too focused on skiing down the mountain. I was too focused on not wanting to be awkward and praying out loud and all these things. And I look back all the time and, oh, I wish I would have done things differently, right? So it's the whole respond. How do we get better at the respond? Greg Finke has a thing called huddles, and that's something we've tried to do here. Something we're starting again in September. And what huddles is it's 4 to 6 people gathering together. And they're simply asking questions that help us with the response. In fact, I have the question somewhere in here. So some of the questions we ask is, how did you see God at work this week? Did you see anybody in need? What has God been teaching you in his word? Has the Holy Spirit been doing anything there? What conversations are you having with pre-Christians? What good can we do around here? How can we help you in prayer? I added a couple questions if you're counting, okay? But that's the gist of it. We pretty much say, how is God at work in your life? And what can you do about it? Right? It's a little bit of that, what's the word I'm looking for? Missing it. Accountability. There you go. That says, awesome. You see the Holy Spirit messing with you in that part of your life. Now, what's the next step? How can you be there for that person? How can you love that person where God's already taken you? Right? And so, after service, there's a sign-up sheet over there. If you want to be a part of huddles or learn more, please come find me, come find Mike Barrier, sign up there if you have more questions. We would love to have more people in huddles because we want to be better at responding, right? Now, ultimately, we're going to fail, just like I did with that ski man, right? We're going to fail to respond. Sometimes we're going to fail to recognize. And a lot of times we're even going to fail to seek because ultimately, we're selfish, right? We're sinful. That's who we are. But we have a God who loves us, a God who redeemed us, a God who seeked after us, who recognized what our problem was, who responded with dying on the cross for us. Because of his great love, man, that's what allows us to go out and love others. That's what allows us to want to seek, recognize, and respond, because that's what Christ did for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.